Okay, any others?
Yes, I have a family member that's got three different kinds of cancer at the same time.
Oh.
And they're just trying to treat each one as they can. It's a young person, 35. And they just don't know how it got to the point it got to, but it did. So, and he's in treatment, so let's just...
Okay.
His family's going through a lot right now.
Amen. Amen. Any others? Okay. Again, let's remember the communities around us, the churches around us, all of those that we had earlier this morning, and let's keep all those things in prayer. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we're thankful this morning. Lord, we're thankful for the opportunities that you give us in our life. We're thankful, Lord, for the choices that you allow us to make. And we're thankful, Lord, that you help us to make choices that are pleasing unto thee. And we just pray this day, Lord, as we once again come before your throne, Heavenly Father, and Lord, as we ask the desires of our hearts, we would pray that our desires are the desires that you have for us, Heavenly Father. And we would just pray this day, Lord, as we lift one another up, and we thank you, Lord, for the things that you have already done and the things that you're going to do, not only in our lives, but the lives around us, Heavenly Father, that we don't forget to give you the praise and honor and the glory for it, Heavenly Father. We just pray this day that you would bless each family represented here, Lord, that you would help us, Lord, as we look into your word. Lord, show us those things, Heavenly Father, that you would have us to understand, things that we might take out into the world as we go out into the world, Heavenly Father, so that others might see the good works of your salvation through us, Lord. Help us, Lord, to always be an example of what your saving grace is truly all about. Forgive us, Lord, for we have sinned and fallen short of your glory. Help us, Lord, not to forget to give you praise and honor and glory for all things. For in Jesus' name we pray, and amen. Amen. So we're going to start off this morning with a statement. So let's start with this. All of us as believers, here's what's going on in our life. We are learning to maintain victory. This is something we've got to learn to do. If not, we're going to go through our whole life discouraged. We're going to go through our whole life sad. We're going to go through our whole life not glorifying God. So we're learning to maintain victory, but we're learning to do it through the power of an almighty God, the one that our life should be rooted and grounded in. So this means as we face trials, and I'm going to say temporary trials, because the things that we face in our life are only temporary. They can only last for a short period of time. So as we face these temporary trials, these temporary hardships, these things that we think are setbacks in our life here upon this earth that we live, we cannot, okay? Say this with me. We cannot be permanently conquered. Hey, are you with me? If we have God in our life, we cannot be permanently conquered, because our success, our spiritual success, Christ has already secured it for us when he died upon the cross and when he was resurrected from the grave. So that's already been taken care of. But there will be, and I should make this a question, will there be times in our life that things just aren't going to go well? Sure there will be. And why is this? It's because we lack understanding. Sometimes we do not understand the choices that we make. Sometimes we do not understand the actions that we perform. And the reason that we don't understand is because when these things begin to take place in our life, the first thing that we begin looking for is a way out. And if we don't look to God for our way out, we can't find one. And when we cannot find a way out, then the opportunity for temptation in our life becomes something that is very real. And we've all experienced this in many things in our life. So this will cause us to see defeat instead of victory over the things in our life. God does not want us to be defeated. He always wants us to be victorious. So that means when we're facing these things in our life, these hardships in our life, it's very important to pay attention to the Lord. It's very important to pay attention to that that strengthens us in our life. The Holy Spirit that indwells in our life, that gives us our strength. And He encourages us, if we'll listen to Him, He encourages us to stand strong in the Lord and in the power of the might of God. So our God, my God, your God, we're all serving the same God. Our God is greater than anything else that can harm us in our life. There is no obstacle too great. There is nothing that can happen in our life that God is not greater than. Amen? So we need to look to that in our life. So He encourages us to stand strong. We've got to learn to stand strong in our life. We have to learn, here's one of the things that we have to learn to do in our life. We have to learn to turn tragedy into triumph. And we can only do that through the Word of God. So in the book of Romans chapter 8, I'm going to read you a couple verses of scripture in the book of Romans chapter 8. The book of Romans chapter 8, I'm going to read you verse 31, and then I'm going to read you verse 37. So you can go back and read in between later on. But verse 31 says this. Here's what he says. What shall we then say to these things? Okay, so we're asking this question. All these things that are coming up against us. The first thing that when Paul wrote this to the church at Rome, he said, what's the first thing that comes into your mind when these things begin to happen? He says, what shall we then say to these things? And he said, here, do we say this? If God be for us, who can be against us? We ought to memorize that verse. Because every day in our life, something is going to come up in our life. And instead of trying to figure out a way out of it, we should just stop right then and there. If you have to say it out loud and people around you hear it, they think you're crazy, that's okay. But just say, if God is for me, then nothing else can be against me. Amen? That's what this is all about. So over in verse 37, he says this. He says, no, in all things we are what? We are more than conquerors through Him that loves us. So two promises right there. And that right there. If God is for us, then who can be against us? And we're already conquerors because of what God has done for us through Christ on the cross. So we thank God. How many of you, this is one of the things that we forget a lot to do in our life, is the Bible said to be thankful. How thankful are we in our life? Not very sometimes, are we? So we got to learn to be thankful. So if we thank God as believers, then we're declaring our righteousness in our identity in Christ. We always have to learn to identify ourselves in Christ. So that means that no matter what's going on in our life, the circumstance, the situation, no matter what's going on, no matter what difficulties we may be coming up against, no matter what it is that God is calling us to do in our life, we understand that if we're thankful, we understand that His mercy and His grace that has secured us in our salvation will continue to secure us in our salvation. But we must learn to live in our salvation. So how many of you go throughout the days of our life, and I know you're saved, you claim to be saved, I claim, but how many of us go through the days of our life without living in our salvation? Many days in our life we do that because we're off in the world doing something and we're not living according to our salvation. So when we do this, now we're finding it difficult to grasp a hold of the truth of God's Word. And when you read, well, we read this down in Sunday school class this morning when we was talking about in Proverbs chapter 3 verse 5. Does anybody know what that says? Trust. Yeah, trust in the Lord with thine whole heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. In everything acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. How many of you found it difficult to hold the truth of that even yet this morning? Trust in the Lord with thine whole heart. Sure we did. So sometimes we find it difficult to grasp a hold of the truth of God's word. And when we do that, then our security is gone. We no longer feel that assurance that God tries to give unto us. So there is nothing more. Let me say this. Pay attention to this. There is nothing more important to us. There is nothing more important in our life than God. And we have to learn that. Because sometime during the day, my kids are going to become more important. Sometimes during the day, my mom and dad's going to become more important. Sometimes during the day, my grandkids are going to become more important. My wife, my husband, I could just go on and on and on. My car, my house, my farm, my cow. You want me to keep going? No, there is nothing more important than God. And when we learn that, and when we begin to turn those things over to God, then we'll find out that those things that we think are more important than God, God has already taken care of those things in our life for us. We haven't realized it yet because we still think they're more important than God. But there is nothing more important than God. So the reality of our life is we have to learn to endure. We're going to have things happen to us physically. We're going to have things happen to us mentally. We're going to go through all these worldly, emotional struggles in our life. And we have to learn that just because we're experiencing these things, it doesn't mean it should get us wondering if God is still there or not. Or if God is still the truth or not. Or if God is still got the power to help me to overcome these things in my life. We do not want to get to that place in our life because we want to always be choosing to abide in the power of an almighty God. And the quicker that we learn that in our life, the quicker that we'll learn that all of these other things that come up against us in our life, they will not be successful, and we'll quit worrying. You know, the Bible says it's a sin to worry. How many have sinned already this morning? Sure. Yeah, we could all raise our hands because we worried about something. So this is one of the things that God does not want to see happen in our life. So here's what we've got to learn to do. Okay? Turn with me to Hebrews real quick. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. Here's what we have to learn to do. And this is we just studied and we just went through the crucifixion and the resurrection. And one of the things that happened when Christ died upon the cross, it said the veil in the temple did what? It rent in two. What did that do for us? Sure, it opened up our way, a direct communication, line of communication with God. And in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, here's what it said. Let us therefore come what? Boldly. Boldly to the throne of God. Now, how many times do we go to pray and say, well, Lord, I don't. Maybe you'll do this for me, maybe you won't. That doesn't sound like boldly to me, does it? When we come boldly to the throne of God, we come to God already knowing that whatever it is, see, and this is the other reason. I'm going to explain this real quick. I got a couple minutes. I'm going to explain this real quick. First of all, in order to come boldly to the throne of God, you have to allow the Holy Spirit that indwells within you to tell you what to take to the throne of God. So, If you're just going to the Lord with something trivial, then Lord, I think I need a new car, and I know you'll give it to me, and then a week later somebody will say, preacher, I prayed for a new car and I still ain't got one. Maybe you can't afford it. I don't know. God knows the reason. But we have to allow the Holy Spirit we do not know what to take to the Lord unless the Holy Spirit guides us. So when we begin to pray, then we ask the Holy Spirit, to show us what it is that we need to take boldly to the throne of God. And he says when we do this, come boldly into the throne of grace that we may obtain what? Not what you're asking for, but we may obtain his mercy and then find his grace to help us in that time of need. He didn't say you're going to find the answer. He said, you're coming to me to obtain mercy, you're coming to me to find grace, and you're coming to me to find out what it is that I can do to help you in your time of need. So this is what we do in our life. So we understand, you know, when you were saved, I hope, and I've heard people tell this to some at the altar, but I hope that nobody told you from now on the rest of your life is going to be peachy or okay. Because I can tell you, whatever your life was before you were saved, the struggle is going to be more severe after you're saved. Satan didn't have you before you were saved. He can't take away from you what you got being saved, but he can sure try to make your life miserable while you're here. So we have to understand that there's going to be struggles. There's going to be times that we fail. Or there's going to be times that God's going to help us to overcome those things. But the good news is, the one that's going to help us overcome it has already went through it firsthand, because he took our place in doing so in this world. So there's not one thing that you or I will ever go through on this earth that Christ himself didn't go through when he was up on this earth. And he done it, and he never, never sinned. Amen? Never. So we have that opportunity in our life. And for this reason, we can come boldly to the throne of God. And we can allow the Holy Spirit to show us what it is that God is wanting to hear from us. And we can be assured that there is nobody, there is nothing else that understands us better than God does. So the next time you're going through something and say, oh, should I call my neighbor and talk to them about it? Or should I talk to God? Leave the phone. Because you know when you call your neighbor and talk to them about it, all you're doing is gossiping. Amen? Yeah, that's right. All you're doing is gossiping. So talk to God about it. And then if God says call your neighbor, then it's okay. But talk to God about it. So in the book of 2 Corinthians, let's turn there just for a minute. And I want us to understand this morning, we have to get an understanding about what it means when God says we never have to be defeated in our life. Because every day, most of us, every day, go through some kind of defeat. And God doesn't want that for us in our life. So in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7, and here's what you're going to see when we read down through these two or three verses here. You're going to see God's fact, and then you're going to see a promise. So starting in verse 7, here's what he says. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels. So do you know what that means? This is the earthen vessel. Where we are, our bodies are the temple of the Lord, and in this body now lives and indwells the Holy Spirit, which is the God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, now dwells within us. And because we have this treasure in earthen vessels, he said, now we have the excellency of the power of God. It's not us anymore. It's the excellency of the power of God within us. So here's where we're at. Okay, fact number one. We are troubled on every side. Fact. Amen? We are troubled on every side, but look at the promise that he says. Yet we're not distressed. See, we need to keep these things in mind. So we're not distressed. My first reaction would be, I'm stressed. But we're not distressed. He said we are perplexed or confused. Is everybody with me this morning? Confused? Yeah, we're confused people. We're confused, but he said just because we're confused, he said we are not in despair. All right? So he's trying to give us all these things that show us that we do not have to be defeated. So he said, we're persecuted. Fact. You're persecuted. But he said, never forsaken. All right? Never forsaken. We are cast down, but we're never destroyed. And listen to this promise that covers it all. He said, because we're always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ. Every day in your life is an example, is a proclamation, is a witness of the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. We are bearing that in our body, the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ, that the life of Christ might be made manifest in our body. So let me ask you this question. When people look at you, do they see Christ? Do they see the crucifixion and the resurrection? Do they see the light of the gospel of the saving grace shining forth from within to without? Ask somebody. Walk up to somebody along the street one day in Walmart and say, hey, do you see Christ in me? Is anybody going to do that? No. But they should. This is what people should see within us. This is what this is all about. But what normally do people see? People see we're troubled, we're confused, we're persecuted, we're cast out. People see all that. We don't want them to see that. We don't want them to see we're troubled. We want them to see we've been lifted up. We want them to see the promises within us. Not the fact, but the promises that God has given unto us. So this all comes from living a life knowing that Christ has already obtained these things for us in our life. Yes, there's going to be persecutions and hardships. All of these things are going to happen, but you and I can remain faithful. We do not have to lose our faith because the victory of Christ on the cross overshadows the difficulties of the sinfulness in our life of the world. You believe that? Sure. We have victory in Christ. So in Romans, I'm going back to Romans again for a minute. In Romans chapter 6, verse 11. Here's what he says. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. All right, now this is a tough one. Because he says, you have to believe now as believers that your life is dead to sin. Do you know the Holy Spirit cannot and will not abide in there with sin? So if you're saved and the Holy Spirit is indwelling within you, you are dead to sin. But you have to learn to claim that victory. If you don't claim that victory, then Satan will use that old nature that's still attached to you to get you to sin. And the Holy Spirit hates it. That's the struggle that you feel when you do something wrong in your life that's not pleasing unto God. How many of you physically get sick? Sure, that's part of the struggle. Mentally, do you get sick? Yeah, mentally, you're all sick anyhow. So, well, I am, so you gotta be. So that's the struggle that we have going on within us. So he said, but we're dead to that and we're alive to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So here's what he says. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body. That old nature that's still there, don't let that rule over what you got from God. Don't let it reign. Don't let it take precedence. So he said that you should obey the lust thereof. So the worst thing that we have in our life is the lustful desires that we have. Now, when I say lustful desires, you guys are probably all thinking of the worst thing that you can think. But give me I'll give you one of my lustful desires is I can't hardly pass an ice cream joint. Kenneth didn't raise his hand, but I know he's the same way. Okay? So lustful desires that, and you wouldn't think, how would that overcome and cause sinfulness in my life? I can tell you, Satan can find a way. So any lustful desire, he said. So he said, neither yield ye your members as instruments of righteousness unto sin, but, this is the part we want, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead. That's why Paul in one of these letters, he says, we are lively Christians now. But yet when you greet you at the back door of the church and say, how are you doing today? I'm here. I'm wondering where the lively part went to. Huh? We're alive. We're lively Christians. He said we are alive from the dead. Well, act like it. And you are members as instruments of righteousness of God. So that means to get to this point in our life, we have to change the way that we think. So we must no longer think of ourselves. And you know, everything that we do, we think of who first? That's right, me. But we must no longer think of ourselves, but we must think of ourselves in our service to Christ. Okay, so now we're going to change the way that we're thinking. So the little thing that came out years and years and years ago, WWJD, yeah, stop and ask yourself. When you're in a situation, stop and ask yourself, what would Jesus do in this situation? I'm sure he's not pouting. And I'm sure he's not cursing. And I'm sure he's not angry or grudgingly doing something. But he's compassionate. And he's loving. And he's trying to show us that we no longer need to follow after a worldly pattern because we are now living according to His will. See, these are all things that we need to tell ourselves every day. Let me jump down to verse 17. Here's what it says. But God be thanked that ye were, pay attention to this, were. This is the key word here. Ye were servants of sin. That's gone. Okay? But ye have obeyed, obedience, from the heart, that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you, which is your salvation, being then made free from sin, you now are and have become the servants of righteousness. We need to start acting like what we are. We're children of God. We live in the righteousness of Christ. We can claim victory over anything and everything in our life. But yet a lot of times we're walking around as defeated believers because we're allowing the world to overcome us. So that means even though we have the power of God within us, which strengthens us, that doesn't mean that all of these other things, you know, you're sitting here today saying, well, I could be that way if stuff would just start happening in my life. But we have to have temptations in our life. We have to have hardships in our life. We have to have these things happen and take place in our life in order to help us to understand our faith and our spiritual maturity in the Lord. Just because they have to be in our life doesn't mean we have to accept them to be a part of our life. And if we don't accept them to be a part of our life, then God, before he ever allows these things to take place in our life, God has already created a way of escape. And it's there. So when the hardships come, when the temptations come, when all the struggles and all these things come, we're focusing on those things that are coming towards us. And here's the way of escape that God has already, and we can't find it. Because we're trying to understand this when we should be living this. So this is where we need to get to in our life. We need to become that living example of God's grace, His mercy, His praise, and all of these things glorify Him. So the next time something's going on in your life and you begin to react, stop and think, is my reaction going to glorify God? And if you can say no, don't do it. Don't go ahead and do it if it's not going to glorify God. So in the book of James, I'm going to leave you with this promise this morning. In the book of James, chapter 1, verse 12. Let me leave you with this promise that he gives us. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. Or you can say hardship or trial or tribulation or whatever you want to put in there. Because for when he is tried and overcomes, he shall receive what? The crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. So many, many times in our life, because of sufferings, whatever they might be, we're going to, Satan's going to be there, and the first thing he's going to present to us is defeat. Because that's what he wants us to feel. He wants us to feel defeated. And when this happens, then we lose sight of the perspective of God's purpose and plan in our life. And that is to live a life that is undefeated. So we forget sometimes, and you might think, how do we forget this? But we do. We forget sometimes that we are children of an almighty God. We belong to an almighty God. We have an almighty God that will do and has done anything and everything for us for our life. And we forget that sometimes. So we forget we're favored by His grace. We forget that the Holy Spirit indwells within us. So that means instead of living an undefeated life, we live a lot of our life in defeat. But we are blessed. We are because we have a fulfillment that nobody else has that does not have the Lord, and that fulfillment is the promise and the commandments that God gives us through His Word. That's why we study. That's why we have Bible study. That's why we have Sunday school class. You know, you can come here and listen to me on Sunday morning, and by the time you go out the door, if you didn't write something down, you'll done forgot what I said. But you won't forget Sunday school. You won't forget Bible study because you're taking part, you're participating in it, and you're learning what these promises and the commandments of God are all about. So instead of trying to run from these temptations, these hardships, these sufferings, you know, if you go over into Ephesians chapter 6, you'll find out that when you were saved, you got this armor of God. And you also find out when you begin to study it, there's one place that it doesn't cover. And that's back here. God always wants us going forward into things. When you turn and run, you're vulnerable. So we never run. We embrace. We embrace all of these things that come up against us. And when we embrace them, then we cannot be defeated by them. Because God has given us the power to be the one that has victory. And we'll begin to recognize the opportunity of these things for spiritual growth in our life. So this week, here's what I want you to do. I want you, as you go through your week, I want you to take a notebook. And I want you to write down some of the things that Satan brought against you. And then I also want you to write down, and you don't have to show it to anybody, was I defeated or was I undefeated? And then the ones that you write down that you were undefeated, and I hope there is some, write down what spiritual growth came out of it. I want you to see where your spiritual growth is. I want you to see what God's trying to do for you in your life. I want you to recognize the opportunity, because this is the only way that we're going to know and understand the work that God is doing within us. And others will see that work. I see that work within you guys. And this is what God wants us to do, because this is how we show others what the opportunity of salvation is truly all about. So defeat, pay attention to this. Defeat, I'm not going to say should not, defeat must never be an option in our life in Christ. Because once you pick that option, you're going to start feeling the consequences of it in your life. So defeat must never be an option, because defeat was conquered for us by Christ on the cross. And He wants us to live that in our life. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful once again this morning. Lord, we're thankful for every opportunity that You've given to us. Lord, we want to show forth and share the truth of Your word, Lord, with everyone that we come in contact with. And we would just pray, Lord, that it's an encouraging word. That people don't see defeat within us, but they only see victory, Heavenly Father. They may see the things that we're going through, but Lord, You want us to see the victory that comes from it. So that the light of Your salvation, Lord, might shine through. So Lord, that in these last days that we're living, Lord, we want to see people come to know You as their personal Savior, Heavenly Father. Lord, we want people to understand the importance of accepting Your saving grace, Heavenly Father, and what their life, our life in Christ, is truly all about. So help us, Lord, to continue to follow after the leadership and the guidance of Your Holy Spirit. Help us, Lord, to come boldly before You with the things that You desire for us in our life. And help us, Lord, to achieve the promises and the commandments, Heavenly Father, that You have given unto us to live by, so that we may always show forth Your good works in everything that we do. Forgive us, Lord, for yes, we have sinned and fallen short of Your glory. Help us, Lord, not to forget to give You praise and honor and glory for all things. For in Jesus' name we pray. And amen. Amen. So we're going to stand this morning and have a congregational song.
398.
398. If you're here this morning and you have a need or a burden, if you're here this morning and you're unsaved, we certainly would invite you to come and share those things with the Lord. 398.
I cried. Their tears will supply our glory to His name. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. Near to my heart will supply. Justly saved from sin,
Jesus has freely
abides with Him. There at the cross where He